So we move on now to hearing the word of God, and we have our first reading, which Pam is going to bring to us from Genesis. Thank you, Pam.
This first reading is taken from Genesis 15, 1-6, the Lord's covenant with Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer the of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Amen. Now Kerry is going to read Psalm 27 for us.
New International Version, Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of my trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his sacred tent. I will sacrifice shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord.
Amen. Finally, a gospel reading from Luke chapter 13, verses 31-35. Luke 13, 31-35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, Go and tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your holy word to us, and as we ponder that word now, I pray that you would guide my words, and that somehow from the midst of those words we would hear what you want to say to each one of us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that many of us would say that we are moving or emerging from the darkest, or at least one of the darkest periods in our personal experience. The COVID-19 pandemic started way back in November 2019 in Wuhan in China. And slowly but surely it kind of made its way around the world. And by the end of January 2020, the first few cases had been identified here in the UK. And as it developed, restrictions began to be put in place. And finally, Boris Johnson addressed the people of Great Britain on the 23rd of March 2020, giving us the simple order, stay at home. And since that time, we've had in one way or another to live with the COVID threat. For some vulnerable people, the level of threat has remained high all the time. For others of us, the level of threat has varied, with sometimes restrictions being eased. You remember eating out to help out, and sometimes the restrictions having to be tightened again. So it seems to me that fear in one way or another of COVID has dominated our lives for two long years. However, as this springtime approaches and the days lengthen and the sunshine begins to contain some warmth, there's just a feeling in the air that maybe, just maybe, the worst of the pandemic is past us. Although, as Deborah's experiencing at the moment, it's still definitely around. But we do thank God for those whose sheer hard labour of service has enabled society to continue to function. We thank God for the amazing scientific advances that have given us vaccines. We thank God for the willingness of so many to follow rules that have kept us safe. We've lived to some degree with fear and anxiety, and it hasn't been easy. But just as we are kind of, it seems to me, walking into the brighter skies of beginning to return to normal ways of living and relating, another cloud forms and threatens to overwhelm our lives. As we know, for some years, Vladimir Putin has threatened the nation of Ukraine. And filled with a deep sense of shame and anger at what he sees as the fall of Russia's empire and its humiliation by the Western powers at the end of the Cold War in the early 1990s, an anger which he seems to have nursed and cherished within him, so he's begun to grasp more and more power to himself, crushing all political dissent. And he's allowed that anger to express itself, first of all in the vicious destruction of Syrian cities as an ally of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, then incursions into Russia's neighbouring states, then the annexation of Crimea, and now the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And he utters threats of nuclear annihilation to any nation willing to take up arms to oppose him. So once again, there's kind of an edge of fear and anxiety in our world, and it's not easy. So we pray, and we give, and we take part in vigils, and we seek to understand. And we take heart at the incredible courage and resilience of the Ukrainian people, exemplified by their president, Volodymyr Zelensky. We take heart at the incredible outpouring of love and generosity towards Ukrainian refugees across Europe. And we take heart at the willingness of nations to take the pain of economic hardship. And our part in this fight is going to be very costly for us all, economically at least. Life has an edge to it in our times. And when I read those three Bible readings that were set for today, they resonated so powerfully with the situation through which we've been living for 2 years and the situation in which we find ourselves now, because each of them is about, in one way or another, facing fear. Each of them points to the character of God that enables us to face fear, and each of them offers a way for us to approach our lives with faith and hope. So let's begin with Abram. And the thing about Abram is, Abram trusts God in a time of fear. Abram trusts God in a time of fear. He'd already been called by God to abandon his, no doubt, easy, prosperous and settled way of life in Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land God would show him where he would birth a great nation. And so he'd gone. But now in that promised land, a fear darkened Abram's life. He and his wife Sarai had no children. And on his death, all his possessions would go to Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in his household whom he had adopted as his heir. So there would be no fulfillment of that promise to make a great nation from which all peoples on earth would be blessed. Abram feared that God had let him down. He feared that his trust in God had perhaps been misplaced. So God comes to him. Verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. I love that. God reassures Abram that he is Abram's shield. And I imagine a sort of shield that almost that completely surrounds and protects him. And he, God, is Abram's great reward. God's sheer presence will always be a gift for Abram for the trust that Abram has placed in him. And then a further promise is made in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And the promise is backed up by Abram looking at the stars, the uncountable stars. Verse 5, and God took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. I've rarely looked up, as I should, at the stars. But when I have, in places where light pollution has been minimal, I have been astounded. Oh, we've just bought a little book on space, outer space, for our little grandson for his birthday. Not Johan, one of our other grandchildren. And I'm reading it before he gets it. He may only be 5, I think it is, but it's a wonderful book. Modern astronomy and astrophysics have revealed such wonders in our universe that are beyond our comprehension, and it's going to be incredibly exciting to see the results of the mapping of the skies by the James Webb telescope, you know, the successor to the Hubble Space Telescope. What wonders will be revealed. And God said to Abram, so shall your offspring be. What a promise. What a way to put our lives into a universal perspective. And then comes what for me is the key verse, verse 6. Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. And the Good News Bible puts it more clearly for us. Abram put his trust in the Lord. And because of this, the Lord was pleased with him and accepted him. Now, I think this is the first specific reference in the Bible to faith in God's promises. It reminds us that God responds to a person's faith by accepting them as his son or daughter. That is good news. But for us also today, we know that Abram trusts God in a time of fear. Okay, his fears may be different from our fears may be different from those of Abram and Sarai. And each of us will have our own fears that impact our lives, and that may be nothing to do with the threat of disease or armed conflict. But the simple statement, God, in all my fear, I'm willing to trust you, is the first step to discovering hope. Abram trusts God in a time of fear. And then we come to Psalm 27. And tradition holds that this psalm is a psalm of David, king of Israel. And David seeks God in a time of fear. David seeks God in a time of fear. This psalm is David's confident and triumphant prayer to God to deliver him from all who conspire to bring him down. And David says to himself and to anyone who will hear him, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" All our earthly fears, says David, are put into perspective when we remember who God is. God is light, he says. You know, such a powerful symbol, isn't it, of goodness and truth. We remember its use at the beginning of John's Gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I wonder how many people in Ukraine or facing conflict across our world have uttered those words and the next words in this psalm in faith and hope. Verses 2 and 3. "When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." But it's the next verse on which we need to focus for a moment. Verse 4. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." David chooses to seek God. He chooses to make God the focus of his life. He chooses to seek encounter with the divine. For David, in a time of fear, when enemies are threatening, it's not enough to simply speak out words of faith and hope, although they are so important to us to sustain us and encourage us. Even more important is seeking God, knowing God's presence, experiencing God's love. For David and for us, that happens in worship. What David describes here as the house of the Lord. You know, for all the blessings of online televised worship, and that facility has been such a wonderful gift during the pandemic, I, for one, could not wait to get back to church when they opened again. You know, in the early months of the pandemic, my wife Viv and I, we were so grateful to this church, because Sunday by Sunday we tuned in to Deborah and John broadcasting from their kitchen via Facebook Live, with Bethan joining in with the puppets. And you know, it helped us to feel connected, connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ, connected with you, connected with other people in different parts of the country that joined in as well. But you know, for all the help and encouragement I gain from watching worship on a screen or trying to participate through a computer screen, for all the value I get from worshipping on my own and saying my prayers and reading my Bible, it's when I go intentionally to church alongside my brothers and sisters in Christ that I meet with God. There's something about worshipping together where we meet with God. Back in 2019, I returned to a church of which I'd been a minister, Woolerton Road Methodist Church in Nottingham. And I returned there to take the final service in their building before they closed that building and joined forces with another nearby church. It was exciting in one way because they were about to make a bold new start elsewhere. And I know that God's Spirit was in the move they were making. But there was sadness too. Because a church, a place of worship, which we still refer to as a house of God, it holds memories of the fellowship of God's people and of times of encounter with God in prayer, in praise, and in the proclamation of God's word. It's the place where we go to seek God and to find him. And when I went back there, I told them a story that I'd not shared with them before, of how I'd encountered God in that church building. And it was this: I'd arrived at the church for a meeting, and I was actually going through quite a fearful time. The reason being that the Methodist Church, in its wisdom, had just told Viv and me that they were sending us away from Nottingham to our next appointment, which would be in Neath Port Talbot in South Wales. And I needed to be sure in my heart this was right. You know, I was kind of unsure. And I remember sitting in that church and praying, and a voice in my head said, "Take out your Bible, open it, and read." Now, I want to say this. I'd always counseled others that the one thing you should not do to discover God's will is open the Bible at random, pick a verse and read it. You could find yourself in all sorts of trouble, folks. So in my youth groups and all sorts, I always told our young people, that's not the way to discern God's will. But the voice was insistent, open the Bible. Sometimes we know it's God's will, don't we? When it's the last thing we would actually normally do. So I did. And my eyes fell immediately on Isaiah 54:2. "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back." In other words, go for it. And we faced our fears. We set off for Neath Port Talbot, and we had 7 happy years there. And I thank God for that. But I share it simply because that place was a place where I encountered God, where I sought God and found God. And wherever we go to seek God, here or wherever is the right place for us, the important thing is that in our uncertainty, in our anxiety, in our fear, seek God. David seeks God in a time of fear. And then the final thing is this. We're going to think about Luke's gospel now. Jesus presses on in a time of fear. Jesus presses on. The other day, my wife Vivian and I went to the cinema to see Jim Broadbent and Helen Mirren in a lovely film called The Duke. It's based on a true story. It tells the story of how this man with the wonderful name Kempton Bunton, a 60-year-old taxi driver from Newcastle, constantly campaigned back in the early 60s for better care for elderly people, including free television licenses for pensioners. And his one-man campaigns led him into a short-term prison sentence and the sacking from 2 jobs, amongst other things. But he would never let ridicule or the threat of poverty or the threat of prison put him off. and he finally steals a portrait of the Duke of Wellington from the National Gallery and sends ransom notes saying that he'll return the painting for £130,000 with the money going to buy television licences for the elderly. It's a lovely, humorous film, and of course he ends up in the Old Bailey. But it's very moving because it portrays a man who keeps pressing on in the face of fear. He won't let fear put him off. And no doubt there are countless stories of people who have pressed on undaunted in spite of opposition and threat. Some remain relatively unknown, like the guy in the film. Others have their names blazed across the pages of history, like Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi. Perhaps one day President Zelensky will be spoken of in the same breath, who knows? But for us, our supreme example is Jesus. Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem. And on the journey to Jerusalem, there are always people in town after town who don't want him around. And one strategy they use to keep him moving on is fear. Verse 31 of Luke 13. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." See, the Pharisees don't want Jesus in their town. They don't want him causing them any trouble. They don't want controversy on their patch. So they try to frighten him into leaving. And of course, this could easily deflect Jesus from his purpose. The Herod spoken of here is Herod Antipas, and he had the reputation of being as cruel as his father Herod the Great, the one who murdered the innocents in Bethlehem. Knowing that Herod was after you was good reason to run and not look back. But Jesus will not be deterred, and he speaks with fearless passion. Verse 32, "Go and tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal." He declares nothing will stop him reaching his goal. But while he's on the journey, he's going to keep on with his ministry of teaching, healing and driving out demons. He's going to keep on causing trouble whenever he has the opportunity to bring people healing and freedom from oppression. He is the life bringer, and he will not have life crushed or light quenched. His goal is to reach Jerusalem and offer his life for the sake of the world. Verse 33, "I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Notice those words, "I must press on." He will not be stopped by threats and by fear. He knows that the cloud of opposition is gathering against him like a dreadful storm that will one day kind of break over him. But his attitude seems to be that of keep calm and carry on. In a time of fear, Jesus presses on. So there we have it. In a time of fear, Abram trusts God, David seeks God, and Jesus presses on doing his Father's will. I said we live in a time of fear, and of course we do, yet each of us also has our own fears. Yours and mine, they will be different. Maybe for our health, for our families, our financial security, our futures, there may be so many. But the message to us today from these passages of Scripture is that whatever we face, we can trust God. We can place our fears in God's hands. Whatever we face, we need to seek God, for when we encounter him in prayer and worship and the reading of the word, we're strengthened and revived by the Spirit. And whatever we face, we need to press on doing what we know God wants us to do for his praise and glory. The God we trust will never let us go. Let us pray. Lord, help us to trust you, to seek your face, and to press on. We place our fears in your hands. In Jesus' name, Amen.